Good morning. I made the top 150. That's not bad. My name is Ed Travers. Like Danny said, I'm so grateful to be with you. I've been serving in collegiate ministry for 16 years. For the last 13, I've been a pastor at New Life OSU. And about 4 or 5 years ago, I started to sense that God was doing something in me, just storing up all these ideas about planting in a community, to reach a community for the gospel. 2 years ago, I started to work with a person who I was mentoring to take over my role at New Life. And as of June 1st, he has taken over that role. He's the lead pastor at New Life. And I am now the part of the North American Mission Board as a church planting apprentice. I feel like I've been caught into a wave of what God is doing in and through LifePoint. So it's exciting to be here and see what God's doing in Delaware at this campus. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do in Westerville in 2018. And so I'm really excited. So glad to be here. Let me introduce my family to you. I brought a picture. This is my wife, Tammy, on the far right. August 1st, she and I'll be married 19 years. So that's pretty sweet. And this is my Abigail. She is going to be 12 this fall, and Carly will be 10 this fall. I'm pretty much surrounded by girls, and somebody cries in my house every day. Every day. So that's my life. Nevertheless, Cale said he was going to do a wedding for his sister, and he said he was going to be away. He said, so would you come and preach and lead off the series? I said, what's the topic? He said, the Holy Spirit. So all I have to do is explain the Holy Spirit in one sermon. He's like, relax, Ed. There's four, sermons in a row. There's the series. It's an entire series about the theology of the Holy Spirit called The Unsung Hero is how we've titled the series. And my responsibility is to communicate, a bit about the Holy Spirit to help us start in the right direction. So give me a little bit of a break and understand there's no way to explain the Holy Spirit in one 30-minute session. But I'm really excited about sharing. I hope that comes across, and I hope that we all pick up something today about the Holy Spirit. The thing is, the Holy Spirit is kind of like this unsung hero, this third person of the Trinity that's almost like a third wheel. The Holy Spirit, we can identify with the Father. Everyone understands a Father figure. Jesus, the Son of God, is really easy to identify with because there's so much in Scripture about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a He. He speaks. He guides, he consoles us, he convicts us. He can be lied to, he can be grieved. These are all pronoun things. He's a person. The Bible says that there is one God, and in the nature of God, there are three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all distinct, but they're all the one God. So how do we identify with the Holy Spirit? On the night that Jesus was arrested, he said this statement to his disciples, in John 16, verse 7, he said, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He's saying it is for your good that Jesus goes and sends the Holy Spirit. I was talking to my buddy Nick this past Friday night. Nick is a former student at New Life at OSU, and I watched him kind of grow up and graduate. And now he serves in the youth ministry there at the LifePoint campus. And I was asking him Friday night, I'm like, Nick, let me ask something, dude. I said, if you could take Jesus for like a day, maybe 2 days, or you get the Holy Spirit indwelling you for like a year, which would you take? He goes, well, that's easy. I'm like, what's that? He goes, I would take Jesus for 2 days. Are you kidding? I'm like, well, tell me why. He goes, well, seriously, who knows what could happen? You could go to like a hospital and all the kids get cured. Or maybe you go to a homeless shelter and he brings like two fish with him. You never know what's gonna happen with Jesus. He said, the Holy Spirit, I can't really like touch him, have coffee with him, and to be honest with you, he's kind of like inside my life, always kind of correcting me and guiding my life. He goes, seriously, it's an easy one. I'm like, well, but Jesus said it's better that he goes and that he sends the Holy Spirit. I mean, can you identify with Nick? I felt that. I've daydreamed like, God, if I could just get 10 minutes with Jesus. But Jesus actually said it's better. And I don't care where you're at. You've probably thought like me. I mean, if you've been a believer for a long time like me, would it be better if we could just get some time? Like, what if we could be like the disciples and hang out with them? Or maybe you're here and this is all kind of new to you. Listen, if Jesus said it, there's a reason he said it. And I want to start us off in the direction today just to explore that concept. Is it better that Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to us? So I'm going to look at a passage of scripture that I absolutely love. I'm going to walk us through it, and I'm going to say a couple thoughts that God has kind of put in my head as, you know, just kind of help you kind of follow along. But as I do, I hope and pray that God will speak to each of us. So before we enter in the scriptures, let's just pray together about that, okay? Lord, I am asking and trusting in you that you will reveal much of yourself today, that you will use my words and the scripture, but by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will draw our attention to you and who you are fully and completely. Speak to us now, Lord, in your son's name, amen. Well, if you have a Bible, open it up to John chapter 14. It's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. I don't know if reading the Bible is normal to you, or like maybe it's something you do like once in a while. Listen, you should read your Bible. Seriously, this chapter is awesome. So I'm gonna challenge you all this week to read John chapter 14. Here's the deal. So this is a conversation. They had the Last Supper, and then there's the arrest. In between, this conversation takes place. Jesus says some crazy stuff to them, like, look, I'm leaving. And they're like, well, you just show us the way. You know, he says, like, I'm going to the Father. Well, show us the way. And Jesus, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That incredible statement is, it's like saying, look, you can't go to God on your own terms. You can't decide, well, if I'm good enough, or if I believe these things, that gets you to God. The only way to the Father is on his terms, which is through Jesus Christ. And then Philip, one of the disciples, says, well, Jesus, show us the Father, and that'll be enough. And Jesus, Philip, don't you know me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And here you see the beauty of the Trinity starting to take place in John 14. You have God the Father, who sent the Son. And here's what he says in verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Now that word counselor, the best way I can describe it is an advocate or a lawyer and a comforter. All those words wrapped into one would be kind of what this word means. So imagine someone who's working on your behalf, who's actually comforting you and caring about you personally, but is like a master lawyer on your behalf. That's the best way I can describe it. I'm gonna send this counselor to you to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you, and I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, and before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, and you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And that's the beauty of this passage. What Jesus is saying is, look, I'm gonna send my Spirit, and he's gonna be in you. And he's obviously talking about the gospel, you know, the hope of glory, Christ in you, that when we hear the words of the gospel, when we realize that God made us to be in relationship with him, and we submit our lives to him, he puts his Spirit in us. We get to understand the thoughts of God. We get to understand exactly what he feels and thinks about when he indwells us. Now, for me, let me tell you how I experience this on a normal, typical basis. Have you ever done this? Have you ever been reading scripture or maybe listening to a sermon or like you're at a life group Bible study where someone is talking about scripture? Something happens and you go, you know, you've read that passage 20 times. You're going through it again and again and again. And that 21st time, it's like you've seen it for the first time. Do you know what that says? Do you know how that happens? That's the Holy Spirit. You see, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll pierce right between the bone and the marrow. It's alive because it's the revelation of Jesus, the word of God, with the Holy Spirit who makes it alive and illuminates that in your mind and in your heart. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think for me, when I experience that, it's like God is showing me something of himself through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also does, I don't know if you've ever done this, you're listening to the word of God, or you have a situation, or maybe you did something, and then all of a sudden you have this overwhelming sense in you, oh man, that's not okay. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Happens to me on a regular basis. And as much as I don't like that, I love that. As much as I hate that moment when it feels like God is saying to you, Ed, that doesn't jive with me. It's like a father who, the God of the universe, sees fit to show me something about me that I need to see. I love that. This is typical of my relationship with God on a regular basis. I'm not even gonna talk about the fruits of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. That's gonna come later in the series. I'm not gonna talk about the gifts of the Spirit, which are incredible to experience. But what is typical in my relationship with God is to sense he's showing me something of himself or showing me something I need to see of myself. That is a beautiful thing because we get the thoughts and the heart of God right inside of us. J.D. Greer wrote a book recently in his book, called Jesus Continued, he said this, that the spirit inside me is better than Jesus beside me. I love watching students at Ohio State. You know, over the years, they give their lives to Christ, and you get to watch them experience the Holy Spirit for the first time. And if you've been a believer like me for a long time, you take it for granted. You really do. But this young fella named Robert who I met, he was raised around the church a little bit. So he knew all the stories about Jesus. He knew the story of him dying on the cross. He knew that he was raised again. He understood that message, you're supposed to repent and give your life to Jesus. He understood all that. And he considered himself a Christian, but it was kind of like in his head. He acknowledged God exists. He believed that, but it was in his mind. But it had never really entered his heart. He'd never made that connection. Wow, this is personal. This is for me. You know, in John, it says that I will live in you and you will know me. That's personal. My friend Robert, so he came to some Bible studies and we started explaining the gospel over and over to him. And at one point, he looked at me and goes, you know, I feel like I want to take a step towards Jesus, but there's like something holding me back, like a rope wrapped around my back and I just can't break it. I said, well, maybe we should pray about that. And we start praying, and over time, he came to me and he said, Ed, rope's gone. I gave my life to Jesus. I said, that's awesome. I said, that's great. I said, what are you experiencing? He goes, I think I might be going crazy. I said, what do you mean, Robert? He said, well, I was up on North Campus sitting on a bench. I'm like, okay. He goes, and there was a homeless guy there. I said, okay. He goes, and I had this overwhelming sense to go buy him food. I'm like, okay. He said, you don't understand, Ed. I've never thought that in my life. I've never even been concerned about people like that. I think there's like something going on in me. I said, I'm like, that's my Holy Spirit showing off. Like, he's experiencing it for the first time. He just didn't understand. Listen, we get that in us all the time. The thoughts of God, the heart of God in us. It's a beautiful thing, and that is a gift. If you wanted to spend time with Jesus, let's say all the Christians lined up, it might take you like 30 years to get 10 minutes with Jesus. Instead, he sends his own spirit, the spirit of God himself in us, that we can know him. So what, you know, how can there be an issue, right? Well, to quote Tom Hanks in Apollo 13, Houston, we have a problem. Here's the problem. In verse 17 that I read, it says, the spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Now, here's the problem. You know, he is the spirit of truth. People outside of, you know, faith, people who haven't experienced the Holy Spirit, they do not understand the truth. Maybe you've had a conversation where you're trying to explain the truth to them and they look at you and say, oh, that's like your truth, you know, but I have my own truth. Like, there can't be two truths. Like, you know, there's like one truth. How can there be two? You know, and they'll say, well, in your mind, there's one. You know, and you're trying to explain it. Maybe you say something like this, like you've been praying or you've been reading your Bible and you feel like God has led you to something and you try to explain it to them and they look at you like, you're crazy. You're hearing stuff. Why? Because they just can't accept it. When you're trying to explain God to them, they do not have God inside them. It's impossible for their minds to really totally grasp what it is that you're experiencing. That's part of the problem, but that's probably not even the biggest problem. The biggest problem is this, is that the Holy Spirit will manifest himself in ways that we can't understand. We do understand certain things in scripture that we know what he's doing, but on others, I mean, how do you explain that some people, you know, that are sick get a miraculous healing and the doctors look at them and go, I don't know how that happened, but other people don't? How do you explain some of the things that God does and, you know, it's impossible to explain it? That's the Holy Spirit. He manifests himself in different ways. And I think what happens is that believers look at the way he manifests himself and then they want to recreate it. And sometimes churches will literally make their whole church about trying to like recreate the manifestation of the Spirit. And then other Christians kind of look at what they're doing and go, wow, that's nuts. And then they go all the way to the opposite direction and they kind of ignore the Holy Spirit altogether. How are people on the outside supposed to understand the Holy Spirit if we ourselves struggle? And I think it's typical that what happens for Christians oftentimes is that we would rather, you know, seek out some manifestation rather than the person of the Holy Spirit. I experienced lots of things with the Holy Spirit. I have, over the years, had incredible experiences that I thought, that's one for the books, right? I had one happen one time. I was getting ready to go to bed. This is several years ago. And I was getting ready to go to bed, and I was praying. I said, God, I am yours. I belong to you. If you want to speak to me tonight, you can wake me up. Talk to me in a dream. Whatever you want to do, God, I'm yours. Speak to me. I go to bed snoozing, right? About 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm waking myself up by saying these words out loud. In my dream, God was speaking to me, and I'm saying these words out loud. The words were these: are you going to be about what I called you to be about, or are you going to be about something else? I said it out loud, and I heard myself and woke up, and I start repeating the words over and over again. Are you going to be about what I called you to be about, or are you going to be about something else? I said it over and over and over again. So I'm kind of up for a few minutes, and I'm like, God, are you trying to tell me something? And to be honest with you, I was so tired. I just said, God, here's the deal. I'm going back to bed. If you want me to know that, help me understand it in the morning. Good night. You know, so I went to bed because I had no idea. That made no sense to me. Now, I wake up the next morning, and I go into like a staff meeting. I'm there with another pastor at New Life, and the pastor said to me, hey, man, I've just been really thinking about the Holy Spirit and just being filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit and how awesome it is to have this relationship with God. I'm like, yeah, that's cool, man. In fact, last night I had this dream. He looks at me like, what was the dream? I'm like, well, I don't really know what it means, but I just said the words. Are you going to be about what I called you to be about, or are you going to be about something else? His face went white. I'm like, what? What's wrong with you? He had been praying that morning, talking to God, and he wrote those words in his journal almost verbatim. I'm like, God, you hijacked me. That was even for me. Like, I walked away going, who are you? Like, it meant a lot to him. It meant a lot to that guy. Now listen, I hesitate to even tell you that story, and here's why. Because one time I told it at OSU, and here's what happened. The next week, I get the student comes up to me and goes, Ed, I had a dream. I think it's from God. I'm like, okay. He goes, we were all on this bus. The bus had no wheels. I said, alrighty. You know, here's the thing, you know, and it may sound funny, but here's what happens. When God does something, it's his thing. It's a description of something God has done, not a prescription for us to try to recreate. And sometimes I hesitate to even talk about some of the things that God has done because I just don't want to create that in us, this fascination with the manifestations of the Spirit rather than what God is actually doing. To understand what the Holy Spirit is all about, you need to know the person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit is the unsung hero. In John 14, 26, he said this, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The person of the Holy Spirit, sent from the Father, the responsibility of the Spirit is to teach you all things and to remind you of the things that Jesus already said. That's his primary responsibility. The big idea of this series as we're walking along is this, that the Holy Spirit is more of a spotlight than in the spotlight. God the Father sends the Son, the word of God, the revelation of the Father. If you want to know the Father, you got to look at the Son. And what happens is he sends his Spirit so that we can understand, because the Holy Spirit spotlights who Jesus is so that we will know him. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. And when you understand that's his primary responsibility, we can start to work with him to understand him, that he's trying to help us to know Jesus. He's the unsung hero. You know, the first day of the church was in Acts chapter 2. What had happened is Jesus had come back from the dead and he had shown himself to his disciples. He hung out with them. And then he said, look, I'm leaving, but I'm gonna send my Spirit. Wait till I send my Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, what happens is there's this, you know, loud noise that comes in like a rushing of thunder. And it looks like fire, but not really fire, but looks like fire. And then it separates and lands on the heads of the apostles. And they all start declaring the wonders of God. But there are people from all over that world at the time that are there, and they're all listening to the disciples speaking in their own languages. And they're like, what is this? Some people are thinking, they must be drunk. Another person, it's early in the morning. What are you talking about? You know, all this going on. And then Peter, the same Peter who had denied Jesus just a few weeks earlier, stands up and gives one of the most incredible sermons of all time. Can I challenge you to read Acts chapter 2 this week? John 14, then Acts 2, or you can flip-flop them. I don't care. They're both awesome. Acts chapter 2, let me explain what happens. He gives this sermon. He starts quoting the Old Testament prophet Joel about what's happening with the Holy Spirit coming. that he starts quoting David in the Psalms, talking about the Messiah and that there's a Lord coming who will not see decay. Then he talks about Jesus, how Jesus came, the Holy One of God, who died but did not see decay and rose again for forgiveness of sins. And he looks at the people, and 3,000 people at just one sermon become believers and follow Jesus. What made Peter, this guy who was hiding, stand up in front of all the same people he was hiding from and be so bold to command them to become followers of Jesus? What happened? The unsung hero is the Holy Spirit. Here's what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. It's 37. It says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. You see, Peter wasn't the hero of the story. The Holy Spirit's the hero of the story. The Holy Spirit is the unsung hero in our lives that helps us to understand who Jesus is. You know, that's a circumstance from 2,000 years ago. Let me tell you a circumstance from my life. We have some great friends, Tammy and I, named Jeff and Daphne Hegerness. Here's a picture of them. Jeff and Daphne and their little baby son, Archer, who just turned 7 months old, love them to death. Several years ago, Jeff was a doctorate student at Ohio State studying in physical therapy. And he and I got to meet, and I got to know Daphne. They were just married at the time, and just loved them to death. We ended up doing some Bible studies together for a couple years, and we just absolutely love them. Daphne has a very unique story. She loves Jesus, but when she was 18, she was diagnosed with cancer. She had a very rare form of cancer, and it ended up that she had to have her leg amputated. Here's a picture of Daphne with her prosthetic. Daphne's an awesome young lady, loves Jesus, had to go through that whole process, a two-year process of dealing with the cancer and the surgeries and all of that, and it really took a toll on her life. But when she came out of that, she decided she wanted to live in such a way to draw attention to Jesus, and she wanted to use cancer to do that. So she didn't want to see herself as just an amputee. She wanted to see herself as a carrier of the Holy Spirit who would represent Jesus on this earth. And so she, through some circumstances, decided, she just felt like God had put on her heart, I want you to run, I want you to sprint, and I want you to enter these races to possibly go to the Paralympics. Now, the Paralympics, there are world-class athletes from all over the world that were meeting in London in 2012. And in order to get there, you had to do a series of these competitions where you'd win this one, win a regional one. Then you had to go to the United States Paralympic trials and hopefully qualify there, and then you would get to go to London. And she's like, I don't even run. I wasn't a runner before. But, you know, her husband's a physical therapist, so he was going to train her how to run. So imagine how you and I take it for granted because we have feet. You know, we know what it's like to put our feet down and feel the ground. In her case, she's walking on a peg, and she can't feel it. So she had to learn to run again. Well, in her process of learning to run, she realized there's no way I can make up the time. I need a new leg. She needs what's called a cheetah leg. It's one of those legs, maybe you've seen them on TV, it looks almost like an S. And when you put that on, it operates more like a natural tendon. So when you're running, you know, that she could actually pick up time. And at the time she was at, there was no way she was gonna qualify. And she knew it was a long shot in the first place, but she needed a new leg. Here's the problem. Jeff is a doctorate student. You know, at that time, Daphne wasn't working and he was only making a little bit of money. And, you know, he was basically broke. His parents were giving him money to live, you know, constantly. So he had been praying, and he told me, you know, he's like, I'm confident that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us that he's going to provide a leg. I'm like, I'm praying along with you. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, it's like $25,000. Because it's not just the leg. It has to be custom fitted. And then you have the fittings, because no amputee is the same. So you have to have a custom molding in there, and you have to replace them all the time. I mean, this is going to cost thousands of dollars. And I'm thinking, where are you going to get that? But I'm like, I'm praying with you. So I maybe mentioned it one time on a Sunday, and these young students who came from kind of a different church background decided they were going to pray over her because they just went to a conference and they heard that God has a storage house full of limbs up in heaven, and that if people would just pray with enough faith that God will give them a new leg. So they heard me say that we were praying for Daphne and Jeff, that God would provide a leg, and they're like, we need to pray for her. So they came around her and said, hey, we want to pray for you. And she's like, okay, I mean, I'll take some prayer. And they start praying that God would grow her leg back. If she'll just have enough faith. Listen, I know Daphne. I know Jeff. They have faith that's unbelievable. So she comes to me and she's like, I'm pretty upset about all this. I'm like, well, what do you mean? She goes, well, they're praying this, but I know God has told me that I'm going to run, that God is going to use my cancer to draw attention to his name. I'm like, well, let's just keep praying for that. I went to the guy, you know, kind of the ringleader of the group. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, well, we believe God's telling us that if she has enough faith, she can have her leg back. I said, so you think God's telling you that? Yep. I said, well, she thinks God's telling her a completely opposite thing. I said, which one is the Holy Spirit lying to? He goes, well, I don't know. I said, well, I don't know either. I said, let's just see what happens. So we start praying. Here's what happened. So one day, Jeff and Daphne are out in the track meet, you know, the track area at Iowa State, and he's training her. Someone from the Lantern, which is a local OSU newspaper that goes out to the students, saw them and talked to them and did a story on Daphne because he thought it was kind of a cool story. Someone from the local newspaper read that story and was so excited by Daphne and her life, he wanted this, you know, news, you know, the local news station did a feature on her where they sent interviewers and filmed her and talked to her, and she talked about Jesus like crazy through both of these. They kept cutting out all the Jesus stuff, so she was kind of upset, but at least she was, you know, her name got out there. Well, here's what happened. So they ran a whole story on her through the news, and it went out in the cyber world or wherever the world that stuff goes to. Some guy in Houston, Texas, who works for the manufacturer of the cheetah leg, saw the story, calls Daphne and says, "We want to sponsor you. We would like to give you your own leg, and we will give it to you for free, and we want to sponsor you as someone who's going to train." Right? That's not all. Another company heard, the company that does the fittings, and said, "We want to pay you to wear the fittings." Yeah, I know. That's not all. Listen, so after he graduated, they were traveling around, and he knew he was going to be working in Colorado as a physical therapist. So they wanted to see the Olympic training site when they were there. So they just wanted to kind of check it out. And Jeff was thinking, well, maybe we were able to work with some athletes. They go there, and someone there says, "Hey, Daphne, have you met the head track coach of the Paralympic team?" She says, "No." Introduces her. The woman is so taken by Daphne. She says, "Daphne, can I train you when you move out here?" Training. All the leg for free. She's training now. She was training with the head coach. During the time, she said, you know, the greatest thing about that time was that there were all these, like, seriously great athletes who were there, younger athletes that were training, and they were all watching me every week like, who is this amputee clown? You know, like, that's how she felt, because she could barely get off the block, so she was just learning. But what happened is, over the course of time, they kept talking to her and wondering why she was working so hard, and she got to talk about Jesus with all of them. I watched her race at the U.S. Paralympic trials. This is a picture of Daphne with her medal and her cheetah leg. She did not win enough with a fast enough time to make it to London. She was about 2 seconds short. But someone saw this and was so smitten by her story. A women's fitness magazine, it's a national magazine, and wanted to do a feature story on her. She said, "Ed," I just talked to her Friday, I'm like, "Daphne, what happened?" She goes, "Well, the person called, and I knew how the media was gonna be, so here's the deal. Every question she asked, I just said Jesus, and every answer, I figured they can't cut everything. The only way they're gonna have a story is to talk about Jesus." And so she just talked about, someone saw that story in the feature magazine at NYU, a student, a grad student, who was doing a thesis on how cancer and the insurance field and faith all work together, and wanted to do a story, did a 45-minute documentary on her life. Had to take her up in the mountains. She was mountain climbing, but the whole time she's talking about Jesus. She said, "Ed, do you know how many times I've been able to bring up Jesus with people? Do you know how many times I've been able to talk about what Jesus has done in my life?" Who's the hero of that story? The Holy Spirit takes over when we understand what he's trying to do, and when we cooperate by trying to help draw attention to Jesus. The Holy Spirit just has a way of being right in that mix. I love Daphne, but the Holy Spirit is my hero. I love them, but I love the Holy Spirit. And I think that we need to realize the person of the Holy Spirit, his responsibility is to be a spotlight for Jesus. And that's what he's trying to do in our lives. And listen, if you're here and you're a believer like me, but you kind of neglect the word of God, let me just say and encourage you, that is the primary mode in which he's gonna spotlight Jesus for you. I just want to challenge you. Hey, I gave you 2 chapters this week, maybe some more, whatever you decide. I just want to challenge you to read the Word of God this week. And maybe, you know, as I was talking about my friend Robert, you know, the one who kind of knew God in his head but had never made that connection. Well, you need to cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in your life by surrendering your life to Jesus. You simply offer your life to him. So what I want to do is I want to give you a chance to kind of pray. So I'm gonna ask you, just let's have a moment with God. Let's all stand up together. I'm gonna ask John to come back up, and he's gonna lead us out in one more song. But as I'm talking, I wanna ask, you know, what is God saying to you right now? Maybe as I've been talking, you realize, okay, I've been neglecting the Word of God. Maybe you've been seeking some experience that has nothing to do with God. Maybe you're that person who feels like you're far from God. So what I want to do is I just want to lead you in a prayer. So I'm going to ask you to kind of close your eyes and bow your head and just, as best you can, just talk to God. If you've been neglecting the word, just tell him. Ask him to start revealing himself through scripture. Tell him you're sorry for being neglectful. Tell him to help give you, you know, that motivation to read your word even this week. And if you feel like you're that person who, you know, you've been seeking the wrong things, just tell him, God, I think I've been seeking the wrong things. And just talk to him. And if you're that person that maybe you can identify with my friend Robert, that you've never made that decision, now's the time. I just invite you to simply respond to God by the power of his son, through the Holy Spirit. You simply say, God, I am sorry. I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I believe in your son. I believe in what your son has done. He rose from the dead. I want to give my life to him. I'm asking you to be my Lord and Savior. God, as I'm leading us in prayer, I just know that there's a reason you have me here today, and there's a reason you want to talk to us. It might be personal for each person in this room. I pray, Lord, as you continue to speak to us, that you would continue that this week, that we'd respond to you by the power of your Holy Spirit. And in this series, God, I pray that we would learn more and more and more of what you're trying to do in our lives. In your name we pray, amen.